Bonjour, dear ladies. Welcome to today's lesson number 2 of module 2, Clarity. Today we are going to look how to create clarity through organization. Because you can be surrounded by things that are ideal for you, but you won't be able to use them in an ideal way without some form of organization. What is organization? Let's start by what it is not. Organization is not about how things look on the outside. Picture perfect, high gloss magazine kind of style. Organization in our sense is what makes things work for you in the most elegant, as in beautiful, simple, and efficient way. And I'd like to start with sharing another definition of organization, which I like really well. It's by Julie Morgenstern from her book, Organizing from the Inside Out, from which I will quote a bit more in a minute. And she says, organizing is about designing your space so that it reflects who you are and what's important for you, and arranging things logically and efficiently so that staying organized will be easy for you. Spoken like a true elegant alchemist, I'd say. Now, there are many, many, many systems of organization, and I don't pretend to know even half of them. I think no one does. What I want to share with you today is Julie Morgenstern's system, which I have been using for myself and with my clients for decades now. And I really like it because it's such an elegant system and it works so beautifully. And that is called the kindergarten model. Now, please picture a kindergarten. Maybe you remember your own kindergarten from your childhood, or you have children who are or went to kindergarten, or grandchildren, nephews, nieces, or children of friends. When I remember my children's kindergarten, it was such a beautiful space. It was really a wonderful place. You came in, there was the entrance with a little nooks for every child's coat, and there were the benches with a compartment for the shoes. And then everything was at the perfect size for kindergarten children. Then you entered the actual kindergarten. There was this large room with lots of wood, light-filled, and still very, very cozy. Very noble materials. And the children would always start their day by sitting in a round and singing songs or reciting poems. So 20 little chairs were waiting in a round. And in winter, there would be a fire in the fireplace. I was always so jealous because at that time, we didn't have a home with a fireplace. There were the section where there was a dollhouse, where there were the wooden cubes, where they would sit and eat or do their painting. So let's have a look at how the kindergarten model of organizing works and what makes it work. Now, before we go into the details, something really, really important. The kindergarten model works for basically every kind of container. And by container, I mean that can be a house or a drawer or a shelf or a desk, an office, a time schedule, or your computer. In this lesson, I'm always going to talk about rooms. But each time I say room, you can easily replace that with whatever is applicable for you. Right, let's get started. The first principle of the kindergarten model is that a room is divided into activity zones. In a kindergarten, that would be the music corner, where they eat, the doll's house, maybe there is an arts and crafts section, or there's a reading space, or maybe a place where they can have a nap. Dividing a room into activity zones means that you are creating containers for each activity, which is crucial. Why? Well, Let's imagine you have a huge kitchen drawer, you know, one of these really large kitchen drawers, one of these deep ones, for your dry groceries, like rice, pasta, granola, sugar, salt, linseeds, nuts, almond flours, chickpeas, you name it. And now imagine all those ingredients together in your nice big deep kitchen drawer, but without any containers. All them together. Try baking a cake without going crazy. And that is what basically happens to a room without zones. Thing is, you want to decide what's happening in your room and you want to master your activities that you decided on, not let them master you. So principle number one, the room is divided into activity zones. Number two, what happens in those activity zones is that it's very easy for each child to focus on one activity at a time. No temptations to multitask. The children can be fully absorbed in playing with their dolls, for example, without getting distracted into 25 different things that compete for their attention. How does this work? It works because the zone is well-defined and it's fully self-contained, meaning a child knows which zone are the dolls in and which is the reading corner. It's clear. How many rooms have you seen in your home or in other people's homes where it wasn't clear at all what the room was about? The kitchen looked like it was a kitchen, but also a playground for the children with toys strewn everywhere. And then it doubled also as a dining room and maybe as a home office, and everything overlapped. In those kind of rooms, overwhelm and distraction are practically guaranteed. So, number one, every room is divided into activity zones. Number two, each zone is very clear about what's supposed to happen in that zone. Number three, everything needed for each activity is right in the corresponding zone at the child's fingertips. The items are stored at their point of use in a convenient location. How many things are scattered all over the house becomes very clear when you work with the KonMari method, which we looked at in lesson one. There you are required to hunt down and to put on a pile every last item of the category you work on. Let's say you work on your papers or your beauty paraphernalia or your clothes. Suddenly, you find papers or pots of cream or clothes in the most unlikely places. I challenge you to try it. You'll see where you start to find things when you really comb through your house systematically. You won't believe the weird and wonderful places they are in. But even if things are stored all together in one place, how often is the location really convenient? A typical example would be the kitchen. Usually what happens is things are put up in the kitchen, in the cupboards, on the day people move in. And then what typically happens is that in the beginning, there is some thought. Okay, let's put the cups near the coffee machine, for example. But at one point, sooner or later, you find yourself with that, I don't know, deep frying pan, let's say. And there is no place anywhere but in that compartment where the cups are currently. So what do? You move out the cups, you move in the deep frying pan, and the cups just go where there is more space. And because you are tired from the move and you are tired of having made too many decisions already, and we're going to look at decisions in the next lesson, because you are tired, you can't be bothered to pull everything out and start all over again. So things stay as they are. And sometimes these things stay as they are for decades. That is not what's happening in a kindergarten. things are stored at their point of use in a convenient location, which is the condition for the next point. Putting things away is nearly as much fun as using them. Containers are clearly labeled, maybe with a picture of the thing that's supposed to contain or with a picture of the child itself. It's a personal container. They have the right size, meaning that you won't find in a well-organized kindergarten a container that can contain only 15 scissors if there are 20 children and they're trying to cram in the rest four or five of scissors into that container. That won't happen. It's clear where they are. It's clear what they are. They are easy to reach, easy to be put away, and that makes a clean up really fast, easy, and fun. And rule number five, and remember that when I talk about room, you can really replace that by any section or zone or area or container you want. The room offers a visual menu of everything that is important, meaning with one glance, you get what it is all about, and then you can decide what to do and where to do it because the clues in the room are clearly defined. And this is really the beauty of this model, that when you're organized like this, even in real life moments or moments where life goes crazy, you look around in your home, and you get a clear message who you are and what is important for you. So this was the kindergarten model of organization, and now we are going to apply that to your home. Let's step into our exercise for today. Go back to the room you chose to work on last week. And of course, if that room by now is perfectly organized, then choose another one. So what are the activities you ideally want to do in that room? Ideally as in connected to your vision of your ideal life in your ideal home, okay? What are the activities you want to do ideally in that room? Let's take your living room, for example. Maybe you want to watch TV, you want to read, you want to receive guests, you want to listen to music, you want to play games with your family, you want to have a nap on the sofa, and you want to do your yoga. So is the room divided into zones for these activities? Or maybe do you have to move away 3 dozen of books to be able to see the TV screen? Or do you have to move away 3 dozen of books to be able to roll out your yoga mat? Or do you have to hunt for your remote control or for your TV within the boxes of the cardboard games? Or maybe on your sofa where you would love to take your nap, you have to move away a towel and 5 bottles of nail polish because that is an activity which normally belongs into your bathroom. But you can't be bothered because you always want to watch TV. But since you declare that it's supposed to happen in your bathroom, you never really created a container for your nail polish in your living room. See what I mean? Now, of course, all these examples are completely fictional and any resemblance to living or dead person is purely coincidental. Right. You need to decide what activities you want to happen in which zone in your home. You need to decide what you want to do in your room or your zone or your schedule. And once you have decided on the activities that are going to happen there, first check, do they carry the flavor of your ideal life? If so, great, then you can create zones for them. Let's say you want to read and the zone for reading, the ideal zone is your armchair because it's comfy. So what do you need for the activity? You need books, obviously, you need good lighting. You maybe need a side table to put down your book and your cup of tea. Maybe you need a blanket or a stool to put up your feet. Maybe you need a notebook, something to write, and some book darts to take notes. In short, think about everything you need so you can create the ideal home for your activity. A, because that is what you would do in your ideal home and in your ideal life. And B, by doing it, you already carry the flavor of your ideal life, which means you are already living it. So go through the steps and check. Do you have everything needed for the activity in the corresponding zone? Is it easy to put things away? Does everyone who lives there and who uses the space understand the system? Very important when you share your space with someone else. Is everything needed for the activity at your fingertips? Is it easy to put things away? And finally, when you think about the visual menu the room offers, without having to be a carbon copy of what you saw in your vision for your ideal home, does it carry the same flavor of your ideal home, of your ideal life? That is your exercise for today. Enjoy, have fun, do share pictures, of course, and I'll see you in the next lesson where we are going to look for clarity for your decisions. Au revoir.